This is extreme, and it's been my privilege to be a part of it with you. So to the pastor, to Josh, to Mimosa Lane, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be here. It's a great honor to be able to preach to your students and to be able to be in your pulpit this morning. It's a great honor for me to do that. This weekend we've been talking about unity and the unity that we are to have with God and the unity that we are to have with others and the things that block that unity, things that hinder unity. And what we talked about was sin and how sin separates us from God and how sin distracts us from God. We talked about the man named Samson. I don't know if you've ever read the story about Samson. It's found in the book of Judges. Judges 13 through 16 gives you the whole story of Samson. We talked about who Samson was. We talked about his life and how he was set apart for God and how God wanted to use him and how he was a trophy of God's grace. But Samson chose to follow the sin of his life. And we talked about what sin was. That sin was what, guys? Missing the mark. It's knowing to do right, but doing. So we talked about sin and how Samson sinned and how it broke his relationship to God. And then last night we talked about what does sin do? How does sin affect our lives? Sin lures us away from God. Sin is, it seduces us to sin more. It's like a snowball. Once we get into sin, it just keeps snowballing and rolling and becomes bigger in our life. And that sin blinds us. Like Samson, he had his eyeballs gouged out. That was pretty gross. And that Samson, all he did for the rest of his life then was to walk around in a circle and grind the grain because Samson loved his sin more than he loved his God. Samson had the physical strength, but Samson didn't have the spiritual strength that it took to do what God wanted him to do. So this morning what we're going to talk about is this. How do we overcome sin? How can we overcome sin when sin comes in our life? How can we deal with it? How can we battle it? Every one of us in this room deal with sin. We get up in the morning and we deal with sin. We go to bed at night and we've dealt with sin all day long. And so we've had to confront sin. We've had to deal with sin. How do we do that? Well, I want to ask you to start getting your toolbox ready. Because each of us need a toolbox in life. I used to work as a carpenter's helper. I am a terrible carpenter. I can't even read a tape measure right. I can't even hardly hammer a nail. But I got a toolbox. Now, in my toolbox, there are different things that I use. Now, this is my son's toolbox. Mine was a little older and a little heavier to carry. So, in a toolbox, you've got what? You've got your hammer, right? To hammer nails or knock stuff off or tear stuff up like I do. You got your screwdriver. So you got your tools. Today what I want to do is this. I want to give you some tools that will help you in life that I have discovered from God's Word that help me to deal with Scripture. Now Samson was caught in sin. And if Samson would have taken some of these tools and used them in his life, maybe he would have fulfilled more of what God wanted him to fulfill. If you have your Bibles, though, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 4 this morning. Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Matthew 4, verse 1, it says this. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. I'm going to ask you guys to do something. Out of respect for the reading of God's Word this morning, let's stand as we read His Word. In the temple, when God's Word was read, people stood. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. The tempter came to Him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point in the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in your hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. You may be seated. Last night we talked about Samson and that he had this relationship with Delilah. And Delilah wanted to find out the power of his strength. The Philistines wanted to find out why he was so strong so that he would no longer have rule over them. And what every day it would pass by and Delilah would ask him, "Samson, what's the source of your strength?" And every day she would prod him and every day she would ask him until finally, what did he do? The Bible told us last night as we read it that he was so tired of her questioning her that he was tired to death. She had prodded him. She had berated him. She had said all kinds of things to him. She had wanted him to tell her, for him to tell her why he was so strong. So the Philistines could overpower him. And what happened to his life at the end of his life, this is what happened, that his life was made a spectacle of. Because he chose to live in sin, they mocked him. And he no longer was the effective witness that God wanted him to be with his life. Are you and I being the effective witnesses that God wants us to be in our life as we go out in the world? Sin and Satan wants to use sin, and sometimes we allow sin just in our own nature, in our own flesh, to keep us from being the effective witness God wants us to be. How can we do that today? How can we overcome sin? What are the tools that we need? Well, let's go to our toolbox. The first thing we need to do is that we need to familiarize ourselves with Scripture. We need to focus on Scripture. What did Jesus use to overcome Satan? He used Scripture. The Bible says this. The Bible says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need to be focused on Scripture. Now this flashlight, I use this flashlight when I go deer hunting. I love to deer hunt. This is my flashlight when I'm trying to look for my deer stand or where I'm going to hunt. Now what this light does is it helps me to focus on finding where I am supposed to be. You and I need to get God's word and we need to focus on it every single day of our lives. You see, we need to familiarize ourselves with Scripture. We need to know where Scripture is found. We need to let God use His Word to saturate our hearts and minds so that when we read Scripture, we can take that Scripture and use it in our life. We need to focus like this scope. This is one of my hunting scopes. And what it does, it helps me to see far away. And it helps me to see clearer far away. But you know what else it does? It keeps the distractions out. It keeps the other things out. We are distracted every day. As Chris was saying, we're distracted with TV. Has TV become our God? Or has our phone become our God? Has our computer become our God? Has our music become our God? Has our career become our God? Have we become slaves to other things? Have other relationships become our God? And you know what we neglect the most? We neglect the most God's Word. We must focus daily on God's Word. If you're not reading His Word every day, let me challenge you to read His Word every day. I shared with the students, and I may have shared with you guys this, but a few years ago, I was suffering some depression in my life. I was going through some rough times in my life. And so, man, I decided that I was going to read God's Word no matter what. Now, there were days I didn't want to read it, Pastor. There were days I picked up the Bible and it didn't make any sense to me. There are days I would read it and it would scare me. There are days I would read it and go, man, I don't even want to read God's Word. But I started doing something. I said, I'm going to read your Word, God, no matter how I feel. I'm going to read your Word, God, even if I don't understand it. And God, I am going to focus on your Word and familiarize myself with your Word. And this is what I started doing. Now, when I was in high school, I had some friends. They would make these little 3x5 cards, you know, or they'd make little small cards, and they had these scripture memorization cards, and so I started doing that. But I haven't always done that. But about 3 years ago, this is a tool that I picked up. I take scripture that God uses in my life, and I will type it out, and I will laminate it, and I will put it on a key ring. And basically, I have these all over my house. I have them in my office, and I have them in my backpack. And yesterday, I went jogging, and I took these scriptures with me, and my oldest son said, "Dad, are you taking your scriptures?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, how can you focus when you're running with scriptures?" I said, "You know what? My mind is going to be somewhere. When I run, my mind is somewhere. So I'm going to try to focus my mind back on God's word." It says here, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer, who shields my head in the day of battle." We need to know God's word. We have neglected God's word in our life. We need to know it. We need to familiarize ourselves with it. And how do we do that? Every day we spend time in God's word. I would challenge you to memorize large portions of scripture. I would challenge you to memorize a scripture and say it over and over and over. There were days when I would just have one scripture when I was in depression, and I would say that scripture over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. What happens is this in the Christian life. We think, "Oh, God's not going to help me. I've quoted that scripture." Have you ever thought that? This is yes, this is no. This is interactive right now, all right? You thought, "Okay, God, you say your scripture is a promise and that you will help me. You haven't helped me yet." Listen, quote it and quote it and quote it and quote it until you are sick and tired of quoting it, and quote it some more. Familiarize yourself with scripture. So the first tool is this: familiarize yourself with scripture. Tool number two is this: fight it with scripture. When sin comes, you got to be able to fight it. And you fight it with what? With scripture. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. And God will not tempt you above your able, but will with the temptation provide a way of? God's going to provide a way of escape for you. The Bible says in Romans 13:14, it says this: "Rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to fulfill the desires of the sinful nature." Now, when I was a teenage boy, if I wanted to kiss from a girl, you know what I would do? Before I had my date, I was planning how I was going to get my kiss. Now, come on now, isn't that true, guys? I have to tell you a funny story. When I was a freshman in high school, we went to our all-sports banquet. We had an all-sports banquet. And I didn't have my driver's license, but I wanted to drive. My dad said, "Heck no, you're not driving, son. You don't have your license." So my dad and I kind of got into a scuffle. And so I decided, you know, I'm just ticked off at my dad. I'll have my mom take me with my date to the all-sports banquet. So my mom takes me to our date. And I have this plan. I say, "Mom, listen, I was stupid. I guess I was just ignorant, all right? But I said, Mom, what I want you to do is I want you to drop me off in front of her house. And Mom, what I want you to do, I can't believe I did this. Mom, I want you to drive around the block a couple times. Because you see, what I wanted to do was to kiss her goodnight." So my mom takes off. When she takes off, so I'm planning, how am I going to get a goodnight kiss? So I put my hand upon the door frame like this, and I didn't hit the doorbell, but the dogs of her house, she had some dogs in the house, they started barking, and they go crazy. And the next thing I know, her dad is yelling at the dogs, and I'm frightened, going, "Dad's right here," he's yelling at the dogs, and my mom's about to come back because I'm trying to plan this kiss, and all I do is get a real quick kiss, and it's over. Anyway, that's just a funny story. But I had planned on how I was going to get my kiss. You see, we need to plan on how we're going to get out of sin, how we're going to get away from sin. The Bible said, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I" what? "Might not." Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not" what? sin against you. So what do we have to do? We have to fight it with Scripture. Now look, when I was a kid, I did not have a Nintendo. When I was a kid, I didn't have an Xbox. But when I was a kid, I had some boxing gloves. I had some good old-fashioned boxing gloves. Now, my buddies and I would box, okay? I live down the country, as I told the kids before. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this, but when you put your own gloves on yourself, you do it like this. Now, this is what we did, all right? So my dad must have been a little crazy because he bought us boxing gloves. And my brother and I would box, and our friends would box, and they would come to our house, and we would box. Now, that has to be kind of stupid. Parents wouldn't do that today, you know. But my buddies were tougher than me. Now, we would wear these things out. We would wear boxing gloves out until the stuffing would come out, all right? Now, it wasn't wee boxing. I love wee boxing, you know. It was the real deal. I mean, we were punching each other in the face. But I had a strategy. This was my strategy. Hit and run, man. Because, you see, we didn't have a boxing ring. We had our front yard. And so my buddies were stronger, badder than me. And we still talk about it today, you know, when we see each other, when I'm in town. But, man, we'd put our boxing gloves on and we would go to town fighting. And usually somebody would end up hurt or somebody would end up getting mad. But you know what we have to do with God's word? We have to fight the enemy with all we are worth. We've got to put the boxing gloves on. And you know what Jesus said to Satan the third time he came to him? You see what Satan is doing to Christ? He is pounding and he is pounding and he is pounding away. Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan." He said, "Get out of my face." Because we learned last night that Satan wants to do this. He wants to take us out. He wants to rob us of joy. He wants to thwart God's plan in our life. He's like a little chihuahua dog just nipping at our heels all the time. Did you guys wake up when I screamed? Some of y'all are still asleep. That's okay. We've got to fight it with Scripture. Fight it with Scripture. Fight it with all your worth. Number three. So let's go back to the toolbox. Familiarize yourself with Scripture. Focus on it. Like that flashlight, focus. Like that scope, focus. Get everything else out of the way. Then we got to fight it. And how do we fight it? By saying the Scripture over and over and over. Third tool in here are my running shoes. When sin is coming, we have to flee from it. Don't flirt with it. What was Samson doing? He saw a prostitute, and what did he do? He went and spent the night with her. He should have known that he was in the wrong part of town and said, "I'm getting the heck out of Dodge." But he said, "No, she looks pretty good." What was he doing? He was flirting with it. He was taking it on. He didn't put on his running shoes and get the heck out of Dodge. You see, I've got my boots on and I can't hardly run very fast. Well, I can't hardly run fast anymore, but I've got my boots on and they're kind of heavy. But when I wear my running shoes, I can run faster and further. You see, so often we don't run from sin, we're running into sin. Because what do we realize on Friday night? And sometimes sin is good, isn't it? Boy, sin tastes good, or sin is pleasurable to us. My buddy used to say, Pastor, he goes, "But oh, what a season." It says that sin is pleasurable for a season. He'd say, "But oh, what a season." You see, that season can destroy your life. That season of sin can scar you up. Flee from it, gang. Listen, you're going to be faced with so many situations in life. Guys, here's something for you. Turn the computer off. when you're tempted to look at things that are not appropriate. Walk out of the room when they're telling dirty jokes. Girls, if somebody is gossiping about somebody, don't get into the gossip. Flee from it. Don't flirt with it. I don't know your sin. I don't know what God's dealing with you about. Some of you dealt with your sin last night. I was so proud of you guys, and God was moving your heart. The third tool is your tennis shoes. Your tennis shoes. Flee from it. Don't flirt with it. The next tool is this. Don't feed it. Don't feed it. The toolbox is going to fall over. Okay, I broke my diet this weekend. It's all your fault, Josh. I hadn't had a sweet... I love sweet tea. I love sweet tea from Chick-fil-A and Chicken Express. And Chris was telling me that Taco Cabana has some great mango sweet tea. I'm going to have to try. But man, for every day last year, man, I was drinking a sweet tea from somewhere. And man, I was getting unhealthy again. But so December 31st, I said, I'm going to stop drinking sweet tea and eating sweets. I ate my first sweet this weekend. I'm mad. I had Bluebell last night. Coach, it's your fault. It was good. It just kept calling my name. Wade, eat me. Wade, Bluebell is good. Because my wife is cheap. She doesn't buy Bluebell. Okay, Blue Bunny and Bluebell, you know, the bunny ice cream or whatever, or just the Walmart cheap brand is what we get, you know, to feed five kids. You know, man, it's Bluebell, but it's so good. And it was calling my name. Look, when you're faced with a sin, you guys know your sin. I know mine. Don't feed it. Don't feed it. You know? Don't even get near the fridge. Don't even go near the fridge. If you know where your sin is, you know what is tempting you. Guys and gals, don't feed it. You see, here's my pie cutter. I know I need to stay away from pie. I love pie. But I know I can't eat it right now because I have my physical tomorrow. I do have my physical tomorrow morning. And I've put it off for a year and a half, and my wife is going to kill me if I don't have my physical. But so often what we do is this. We feed our sin. We keep going back to the fridge of where it's found, and we feed it. Go to your toolbox and say, I'm not going to feed myself that sin. Focus on Scripture. Fight it with Scripture. When sin comes, flee from it. Don't flirt with it. Don't go to the fridge and feed it. Number five is this. Forsake yourself and selfish desires. Let's go back to the toolbox. Forsake yourself and your selfish desires. Luke 9:23 says this. If I can find it. Should be able to quote it. I know it. Luke 9:23 says this. Then he said to all of them, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Samson fulfilled his selfish desires, and it caused his downfall. So often we like to look into the mirror and go, By the way, I saw some of my pictures this weekend, Josh. I'm getting old, man. It's like, dude, I don't look good. Dude, I'm old. But anyway, we take the mirror of our life and we focus it back on ourselves. And rather than forsaking ourselves, we fulfill the desires of ourselves. What God wants us to do is to forsake ourselves and follow Him. Forsake ourselves and follow Him. We talked about sin making a spectacle of your life. When I first went to college, I'm about done, hang on. When I first went to college, we had four guys in a room, all right? Now, I was a country dude, but we had two other guys that were from the sticks of Oklahoma, all right? And so there were two on one side and two on the other side. And I told these guys the night of my senior year, I decided that I was going to live for God no matter what. Have I always since then? No, there have been times I haven't. So in May, the end of May, I sit down in my yard and I wept for I don't know how long. Now it's August. I'm thrown into a dorm with three other guys. The first night, we get in this guy's car and we go to this grocery store and they steal stuff. And so I'm in the car. I have a choice whether or not I'm going to do this. And then they start bringing all this alcohol into the room. And they start bringing drugs into the room. And they start bringing women into the room. And I'm the only guy in there that's not doing any of this stuff. And they're making fun of me. They're having a good time with me. But there's one guy, and his name is Doobie. Now, Doobie was this big, muscular dude. We all played baseball. But Doobie liked to drink. And Doobie had a fake tooth. Now, Doobie got so drunk one night. Now, this is for the kids, okay, adults. Y'all just bear with me. He got so drunk one night that he threw up. And he threw up in the toilet. And guess where his fake tooth went? In the toilet. And so what did Doobie do? He's so drunk, he just reached in the toilet and got his fake tooth and put it back in his mouth. Now let me ask you something. You see, what sin did was sin made a spectacle of him that night. And what happened was this, that one of those guys came back to me and said, Wade, listen, I know what you're talking about now. I know why you were living for God. Because you see, when we fulfill the desires of our flesh, when we fulfill the desires of our own sinfulness and selfishness and selfish nature, what happens is this, we cannot fulfill what God wants us to do, and we will not have true joy in our lives, and that sin will overtake us. But when we forsake ourselves and we turn to God, God fills us with the power and the strength that only He can give. Guys, listen, God wants you to have these tools in your life. And then lastly, and we're done, ask God to forgive you of your sin. If you know that there's sin in your life, asking is this. In 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's agreeing with God that we've sinned, and all of us in this room have sinned. We come to God and say, God, will you forgive me? I'm going to ask the band, if you guys would come on up. You know, is there sin in your life? And you know that you need to ask for forgiveness? Students, maybe you're still dealing with that this morning. Maybe there's something you haven't dealt with and you need to deal with it today. Now's another opportunity to deal with your sin. If you know that you're not a follower of Christ and you've not given your life to Him, boy, this morning would be a great time to do that. Say, God, come into my life. Forgive me my sin because it has broken my unity with you. I'm not unified with you. Where are you? Where am I? And when you come to God and ask Him to forgive you, you say, God, I agree with you. There's sin in my life. The Bible says He will forgive you. Now, this is what's so cool. The Bible says when you ask God to, can I walk down here with this? When you ask God to forgive you, He will throw your sin away. Now, is this way east? The Bible says this, He will throw your sins as far away as the east is from the west, and He will remember them no more. It's like He takes the ball of your sin, and God throws it, and it goes east, 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 and it never stops going east, because it can't come back from the west. And He remembers it no more. Students, if you confessed last night your sin, God's forgiven you and forgotten about it. Praise Him. If you're here today or this morning, you're an adult and you weren't part of the weekend, if you've been sinning, you know that you need to ask for forgiveness. God will forgive you if you need to recommit your life to Him. If you know you don't know Him and you want to get to know Him, He will come into your life. Let's pray this morning. Father, we ask that Your Spirit will move. We ask that You will have freedom to work right now. And Father God, that You will wake us up from our slumber so we will turn our eyes and feast upon You. Help us to take up our tools. Know Scripture, to fight sin with Scripture, to flee from sin, not to feed it, to forsake ourselves, and ask for Your forgiveness. So God, this morning, do with this time as You see fit.